This is exactly right.
Hi, I'm Erin Welsh.
And I'm Erin Alman Updike, and we're the hosts of This Podcast Will Kill You on Exactly Right.
We're back with our seventh season, which is bigger and better than ever.
Because guess what? We're now a weekly show.
This season, we're tackling everything from long COVID to norovirus, from the supplement industry to IVF, and so, so much more.
New episodes drop every single Tuesday.
Follow This Podcast Will Kill You wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you leaving? Are you on your way back home? Either way, we want to be there. Doesn't matter how much baggage you claim. Give us a time and date, terminal and gate. We want to send you off in style. We want to welcome you back home. Tell us all about it. Were you scared or was it fine?
With Karen and Chris.
Welcome to Do You Need a Ride? This is Chris Fairbanks.
And this is Karen Kilgariff.
Hello, my friend. Hello.
Hello, Chris.
Hi.
Hello, Neil Diamond. How are you?
That was just a default diamond that I was not planning on.
Deep down, default diamond.
Yeah. It's always in there somewhere.
You can rely on him.
Yeah, I really can, to never leave me. To never, never leave me, brain. I'm just back. I did a festival of music in Boise, Idaho.
What do you play?
I play the mandolin. What do you mean? I did, word jokes with my mouth face.
In between bands?
I was told, yes, that everything would be, my concerts would be in a comedy-specific building. And right when I got there, sure enough, they're like, oh, you're just going to do a 15-minute set on the main stage after Guided by Voices. And
what?
There was everything I require. No ceiling. The sun was still out. Check.
Yep.
Zero knowledge that a comedian would be performing. Check.
Yes.
A child off in the peripheral on Heelys. There was a lot of children. And, but I
perfect
just did
first
my
stand-up.
Open yeah. with the sex tape bit.
Yes.
If your kid knows what a sex tape is, that's on you as a parent. And it actually ended up being the most fun I had at the festival because my back was against the wall and I felt 24 and scared again.
Yes, and you were truly alive in
comedy?
Truly,
afterwards, I was up till 5 in the morning because I was so excited. So
yeah, you fought and you won. You got in there.
Yeah.
You took on the great improv and you did it and you won.
And then later on that night, the show that was under my name that people came for, I kind of ate shit. But whatever.
But hey.
Hey.
At least that's the one they'll remember.
Yeah. Oh, Diamond. Well, I'm very excited for our guests today. Are you?
Yes, very much so. Also because right now, and I don't know if he's doing this because he's a deep down, he's a director, but he's far away and I feel like he's going to make an entrance into this. I love this person so much.
I feel like—
I can't even tell you.
When you're a little kid, you know, you're like in a makeshift haunted house on the edge of town and you know someone's going to jump out and scare you. Except there's the anticipation of delight.
Right.
But he's hiding very scarily in the corner of the frame.
Guys, our guest today has played clubs and colleges all over this country.
So many colleges.
Oh. They call him the Ivy League comedian. just keeps getting asked back to all of those, the sister colleges, I think they're called.
You may know him from so many things, including Gail, his videos. That's how I mean, it's old news now. Why even bring it up? What am I? Let's just
there's
bring
Gail.
Our guest.
There's Sick Jan. There's Sick Jan. There's Gail. There's this yellow hat he's been wearing lately. I follow him. I spent my vacation showing other people his videos. We laughed and laughed. He's one of the greats.
And I know we're introducing him, but we ramp up slowly.
I recently thought
I discovered a new person I loved just from Instagram, and then not realizing, oh, I've seen this person many times. Anyway.
And that person was our guest today?
Yeah, today, whose name is, as you know, Chris Fleming, everybody.
Chris Fleming. Look at him.
Hi, guys.
Yes.
Oh, God, you came out.
I like to do the angles. I like to play with planes, you know?
Yes.
And yeah. I was in the deep southeast.
And you traveled up.
Corner of the screen. I think that in those beginnings, there should be a dunk tank that the guest is released from. Like, we should be in a chamber. And
yes.
Then you press a button, and we're just screaming, hitting plexiglass.
Yeah.
And then you hit the button, and we enter.
Are we
trying
to
get out?
Yeah, we can't finish your intro until we throw a ball into a hole and actually hit the button. Sometimes our guest never gets dunked, and so we don't end up having a guest.
I like how we're willed into existence at the end.
And finally,
yeah.
And then finally, here he is today. Well, also in that dunk tank, I think the oxygen should be slowly sucked out so that there is an element of danger, right?
Yeah.
And maybe loss of consciousness.
Yeah.
Like in The Prestige when Hugh Jackman is, yeah. Is yeah, you can tell. Or maybe I think it's the assistant who's begging. Who's that Australian woman? Remember?
Is it Sienna Miller?
I believe she's married to Sacha Baron Cohen.
Oh, her. I've worked with her.
Ooh.
What, Chris?
In Boise? It was Shakespeare in the Park. She had just come over.
She was wearing Heelys.
From under, down. Liza Fisher. Isla Fisher.
Yes, Isla Fisher.
Isla. Ivory yep. Island.
She's Irene.
She is. She was very sweet, and I have a crush on her to this day, but I ain't
How
no Baron Sacha Cohen.
How dare you?
How dare I covet another man's wife?
That is a mortal sin.
It is. Number seven
you
on
You are
the list.
Actively trying to covet right now.
Oh,
yeah.
Do you guys mind if I stand like a We Are the World type thing?
Whenever I sit,
I get too NPR-y. My voice changes. I get kind of, I talk about the issues too much.
Yeah, well, yeah, you get very self-serious the lower down you are.
I talk about animal rights over and over again.
Yeah. Well, when you're down and out, there seems no hope at all.
But yeah. Anti-animal rights. Chris, I just did a show in Raleigh, North Carolina, and what you were saying made me think about how bad it can be out there. And and about 10 minutes into my show, someone in the back started screaming, "I'm your cousin."
And didn't stop
until I addressed her. And she sure enough was
of
an
course.
Estranged family member of mine
oh,
who I haven't spoken to. And she stood up the whole show waving to me. And I told my mom about it afterwards. And she was like, "Yeah, Chris, was she wearing a big hat?"
Oh,
I was like, yeah.
Oh,
and
wow.
She was like, yeah. I'm so sorry about that.
I mean,
that could have been a Facebook message.
The idea that
I know.
The show
elderly cousin, like in her 70s. Yeah.
Well, that's actually, you know what? That justifies it a tiny bit more.
But also like brings up a lot of questions.
Well, yeah.
It did for me the whole show. I was like, how can you? And she didn't stop yelling and waving that she was my cousin.
Yeah, what would have satisfied her?
Right, I don't know. 23andMe, I don't know.
Your huge photo album that you just happen to have with
to
you.
To disprove her, yeah.
You weren't here? I've never seen you at this birthday?
Right. It starts happening so often that you just have a group of blood people on hand. Okay, let's
to draw and test blood.
Let's see if I'm related to this heckler.
Yeah, sneeze into this, and then let's run some tests.
That reminds me of a time, the first musical I was in college, like the first play of being a theater major or whatever. My family, of course, came because it was just in Sacramento. It was like 2 hours away. And my aunt Kathleen stood up the second I walked, came on stage as like the, you know, I think I held a pole that had a birdcage on top of it because it was carnival, right?
Yeah.
Skipping around. She stood up and just started taking flash pictures of me and people went insane. People in the audience went insane. She got like, you know, attacked by ushers. And then backstage people are like, who is that stupid fucking woman taking pictures? I'm like, it's my aunt.
Like, that stupid
we're from a
woman.
Small town.
Yeah.
Shut up. We don't know the theater.
One time I was in the Wizard of Oz in high school, and I befriended this very eccentric older woman who was a substitute teacher, and she substitute taught art, and she was like in her 80s, and she interrupted our lunch in the cafeteria, and she sang a song about Osama bin Laden and how he needs to be brought to justice, and I was like, I need to be friends with this lady.
right now.
And she was like, she was an absolute liar. Like, she claimed to like invent like the Vietnam Memorial. I just loved this lady. She was the best. She was an honorary Green Beret member and would like call my house and try to get me to like go to the Amazon with her. But before one show, she kissed me in the on the ear so loud that it destabilized like my equilibrium, and like I had to like sing.
So she sucked her blue into your ear, there, boy. She jostled your equilibrium with her kiss.
It was somehow like a lamprey, you know, like when you get full coverage on the, and it was like a.
Like and a lamprey? Is that what you
yeah,
guys?
Like, yeah.
Those
yeah,
fish
yeah.
that are stuck to sharks. Sure.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, the parasite fish. Like, right? That's what the, how do you say it? Lamprey?
Lamprey? No, I think you know it. Yeah.
Lamprey, yeah.
I've only thought that word. I've never spoken it.
Nor have I. I've read it.
Aloud. I respect them. They're so funny. They just bite a fish. And just
yeah, they're like, I'm hanging out here. But you do the work.
Yeah, it's one of those mutual.
They suck on a rock.
They do something. The shark enjoys them also. There is some mutualistic symbiosis, I believe it's
It's called symbiosis. That's correct.
Yeah.
I was hoping we'd talk about symbiosis.
Hey, don't get me started on mutual animal relationships. The tsetse fly.
I think I've seen symbiosis advocate in your Twitter bio.
Yeah, it's number.
Hashtag, he hashtags it up.
The tsetse fly and the rhino, is that the relationship?
I believe the tsetse fly, it eats, sucks off its nourishing blood, but warns the rhino of a bird. Or maybe that's the dodo. Never mind.
You might be thinking of the mosquito and the Italian man. That's my favorite. That's my favorite symbiotic relationship in the history of biology, zoology.
Yeah. What a combo.
Such a beautiful combo.
This summer.
Yeah, only in New York. Only in the
summer.
David
Attenborough's going to do it. He's going to do a whole thing on it. Yeah, six parts.
I like the cartoon little bird and the cartoon crocodile getting his teeth cleaned. That one's pretty satisfying.
Ooh, what's that one?
Is that from Flintstones?
It's probably from the Flintstones.
Yeah.
There's some kind of like, you know, it's a living, tap, tap, tap. But they really do it, I think.
It's a living. Straight to camera.
All those job birds from the Flintstones were also from Brooklyn. They all had Italian accents for some reason.
Well, yeah, if you're like a pterodactyl that also is the sink plumbing and food processor, you're going to have kind of a blue collar Bruce Springsteen vibe.
Tight jeans.
Yeah.
Tight jeans in the conservative way, which is my favorite.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Like the backwoods. Gay machismo, which they don't realize is gay. I love that.
Yeah.
That's my favorite.
A tall waisted jean.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Nice and high up.
It's super succulent.
Just to avoid plumber's crack. That's the only, they're functional high waisted jeans.
Yes.
Totally.
Yeah. No
it's
more.
A problem solver.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
Chris Fleming, what's your favorite, like part time or casual job that you've ever had aside from? The arts.
Yes.
I was a ski instructor for a while.
Really? Where?
Is that true?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. All throughout high school. So my dad, when I was really young, he was like, we got to do something about this. And and he got me this job illegally. I was like, he like somehow got this like under the table job for me to work. I think I was like 11 or 12 at the golf course. And I could walk through, I would walk like far through the backwoods in my backyard, and I would work there, and I would come back at night. And this was right around when the Blair Witch Project came out. So I was, even though I hadn't seen it, you don't need to see it to get like that great sense of fear of the forest.
Sure. Yeah, just witches in the forest. That's all you need.
Yeah, and yeah. You're certain that she's there when you're like, I still am when I, you know, she's absolutely there. And so that was my first job. And then, yeah, he just was really insistent that I get these jobs. So then at like 13, I started teaching like 1 to 5 year olds how to ski. So it was just these like little imbeciles who would like, not even like on downward slopes, like kind of like on flat terrain. So that was...
And so you're always yelling, pizza, pizza.
Exactly.
Or and what's
French
the...
French fries.
For pizza and French fries. Pizza. And
they updated it because French fries was... I don't know if they were... If this was around the time when... The
freedom
mount.
Fries?
Yeah, they call it freedom legs now.
They called it something treasonous, I think, is what it was. Yeah, it was some kind. There was some other term, but yeah. And I just remember a child did jump off of the chairlift once.
Ooh.
But he was fine.
Under your watch?
Yeah, yeah. It was right when we
sure.
got on. Yeah, absolutely.
You mean
yeah,
absolutely.
Under my encouragement.
Get down here.
Yeah. And then there was always like a really like a child who like got like a growth spurt and knew how big they were and how horrible it was that when they would fall and how I'd have to pick them up. And they would just be like, as I was like struggling to pick them up. So they would just kind of go down for the attention and I would have to be skating around just like lifting like a 5'5".
Oh, they
like
go limp with their body?
Yeah.
Oh, that's
yeah.
a bad kid.
But I got yeah, a menace. But yeah. that was certainly my favorite job, being a ski instructor. Yeah.
That would be fun. The one time we got, because I'm from Northern California, so snow, we had to drive to Tahoe to like see snow.
Yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
So the first time, I think I was like 8 or 9, and we rented all our ski clothes. And so everything was like really, it was very 70s, late 70s. So it was like, everything was kind of stiff and yeah. a bunch of people had worn it before. And it was like the most polyester. And the one thing that we got, that we actually got to buy, my mom let us buy fake Varnays at the rental place. So we both my sister and I had mirrored sunglasses.
Yeah. Oh.
So when we were taking ski lessons, I wasn't paying attention because I could see my reflection in my sister's skis glasses. So I just kept watching myself do stuff, but I wasn't listening to any instructions. So then we had to go ski and I didn't know what to do. And I couldn't
stop.
That's
an early screening for a narcissist is what that is. It's a classic test.
I passed that test with flying colors. Yeah. It was just like, that's the only thing I'm interested in.
Yeah. That sounds really stylish. That sounds almost like the Last Christmas music video, the way that the outfit that you're describing.
Exactly like that. Yeah.
Yeah. That is lovely.
Yes.
I would love to be a child and dress that cool on the slopes.
Yeah. Yeah.
A lot of feathered hair and a lot of cocoa. A lot of parents leaving all the kids in the cabin and coming back super drunk and having won like a bunch of silver dollars and throwing them all in the air. There was a lot of, you know what I mean? It was
jackpot?
Very like Tahoe. Yes, exactly.
Oh, because you gamble at Tahoe? I'm not familiar with Tahoe culture.
It's like basically on the state line. So Nevada, you can gamble. So oh, right shit. When you cross over, Chris, did you ever do this living in?
I lived in Truckee for many years, which is right.
Yeah.
Like, and yes, I've done this. So, yeah.
It's like party weekend.
Yeah.
Basically, like you go, and even if you bring the family, especially in the 70s, you're just like, kids will be back in 5 hours. And the parents just go and casino it up. We basically did whatever we wanted, and my cousin blasted Blinded by the Light, and we all just like freaked out in the cabin by ourselves. And then our parents came home and they were just fucking just hammered and like, we won! And we all thought we were kind of rich. And it was just, you know, it was the it was a great vacation element.
That sounds like a
money.
Beautiful, beautiful pre-9/11 memory.
Yeah.
Like that, right? I can't really imagine that. Like,
yeah,
that
never
sounds
again.
Like a casino commercial. Like, no one's won like that since.
I mean,
silver dollars.
Not
too.
According to Morongo. I think there's like a European quality to those. It's a local commercial, but it seems like those Mentos ads a little like everyone's overreacting, and then there's some weird subplot in their eyes.
It always feels like you need to have listened to other prior commercials, and they're like, and now part six. Boom, 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 boom. And it's that, like, it's the genesis. I crank that song. It's like the best mixed commercial I've ever
heard. Yeah, yeah. It's up there with the AutoZone rock ballad.
Yes.
Yeah. AutoZone. O'Reilly.
O'Reilly.
Auto parts. That makes me want to total my car whenever that. right on the eight.
Well, the AutoZone. It's like, that's pretty much like Eye of the Tiger to me. It's almost dangerous. It'll get you. It's on the radio and you can't be ready for it.
That's such a good point. I think there's a lot of songs like that that do encourage reckless driving, if not car accidents. Like Don't Stop Believing is a good that makes me never want to whenever that would come on, I'd be like, it's time for me to leave LA. Fuck LA. I'm not gonna make it. And then Don't Stop, and then
you just add in yourself to the song.
And you re-up your lease because Don't Stop Believing just came on.
Then
that's
you're just
destructive.
Like, you're right. I have to do this. I have to commit more to show business. That's right.
Yeah.
Right.
To general meetings. This
down
is
the
it.
134. Just like, yes, more of this, not less.
Yeah, there was some break place. They did breaks when I lived in Austin. And they would have screeching. I thought it should be so illegal, much like sirens in a hip-hop song. There was just screeching, and you thought there was someone that's about to hit you from behind. And it's just that their way of advertising, you need to get your brakes done.
Horrible. Yeah, that doesn't seem like it would pass whatever the radio equivalent of the FDA is for now.
For human safety.
Yeah, yeah. It's like the police on a commercial being like, pull over.
Or remember the trend of like, and I would say it was the aughts, when in movies, people would be driving along having a super like intense conversation, and then they would just get T-boned by another car. So it was like you were getting into a car accident because the camera was in the car, like
POV.
Looking at Julianne Moore.
Yeah.
And then a fucking like train hits this. That used to drive me insane, where it's like, I don't want to experience being in a car accident. That's why I came to the movies.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I just want to be at the movies.
Yeah,
totally. Whiplash did that really well. I think they should just go to black and say car crash.
Yeah. Don't make me go through it.
It's yeah. Or film it from like 200 yards away. Get a drone and have it like have a little claymation. You don't need to be in the car with Miles Teller when he gets T-boned by the U-Haul.
No, be a dispassionate bystander that actually doesn't care and immediately walks away. Like that's the perfect position.
And then a phone number. At the bottom. Yeah. You got to call it to know what we're dealing with.
Sorry, guys. I'm realizing I haven't, even in our beginning preamble, I'm a massive fan of both of you folks. And Chris, I know we've met in the past, but Karen, we have not met. So it is lovely to meet you in
the flesh.
It's
so lovely to meet you.
Well,
I truly am a huge fan of yours, too.
Okay, good. That's nice. I realize how rude. I think these thoughts. I need to express these things, and I think that everyone can read my mind at all times, and then I forget that. No, you need to be clear, Chris.
It never. You're right to do that because no one. It doesn't hurt anyone to hear that. It always feels good, and so thanks for saying that. And you made the right decision.
You've done it again.
I will.
Another great choice in Hollywood.
Even if it's a famous person. You have to tell them that you like them. No one's like, enough already with liking me.
I tried to do, I John Hamm came at me like in my direction in LAX, and I I didn't want to be that person, and I went so the other direction that I rolled my eyes at him.
Which, you overdid yeah. it.
Which yeah. is so, I feel really bad about it. Oh.
Gross.
This sucks.
That guy?
Ugh. Actually, I really didn't, I was never able to make it past the pilot of Mad Men for some reason. Something about that tonally, just, I wasn't. So maybe that's just how I feel about it.
It's
John Hamm, actually.
No, it's the show. It's not him. It's, yeah, well, that's Snooze Fest, I always thought. And a lot of people get upset at me like they were a gaffer. But I'm not a big Mad Men guy. But I am a big fan of John Hamm. And the handful of times I've talked to him.
excuse me. Stop, everybody. Stop.
Thank you.
Casey?
Yeah.
Hit pause.
Yeah, can you turn up the volume on that statement?
Wait, let me fix my hair a little bit.
Put a little lip gloss on for this.
Chris,
story.
I would have worn a collar if I
you knew I was going to give you the papers.
Jesus.
Yeah. Well, it's like he's a person that doesn't know what he looks like.
Or is trying to play against.
He's got face blindness.
If he's
to himself.
About himself.
I think he is trying to play against, but he's doing a great job. And
for me, the visual of like guys opening up like a glass canister of alcohol, you know, and about to like pour like a little bit of brandy. That's when I shut down in the same way that in like period pieces when people do the hand. That hand dance.
The ceremonial. Yeah.
I don't know why I clock out.
Can't do it.
Yeah.
Can't do it. I don't know. I don't know why.
Maybe because this is what I do when I watch almost any piece of entertainment. I either in my mind tell myself, you're in this and you have to do this now, or you wrote this and you're responsible for however this goes. And it adds these levels of stress to just sitting there watching a thing that has nothing to do with me. Again, this is narcissist story. I realize.
No, Prince said that about music. He couldn't listen to any because he'd be like, oh, I would have put a snare hit there.
You know? Yes. There's just kind of a constant like, is this the right decision? Where it's like, it's already on Netflix. It's fine.
Yeah.
Like, let it, they did it. It's people like it. It's fine.
I'm still going to call.
I'm going to wait till that number comes up at the end of this.
Yeah. Tips or comments?
I think I have this weird thing where if I make it through a book or a movie, I feel like I love it just because I'm like a really bad critic. If I stop it, I'm like, this is that is absolute horse piss. But if I want to make it all the way through, I'm like, yeah, this is actually like beautiful. This is like a really good piece of art.
Yeah.
Always. I'm like real, and I do that in hotels. I'm also if I'm in a hotel, I'll put on like the Wayne Brady Show and have a great time. Like I lose all, for some reason, I lose any cynicism. Or
because
like,
your choices are limited.
Maybe, yeah.
Most hotels you have like, you're lucky if you have 100 channels.
Yeah.
Like that's the splurge for them apparently. Whereas at home we have like 5,000. So then you're just like, it's cold case files or.
There is a forensic files channel.
Yes. Yeah,
in all the hotels.
And also Law and Order. There's always Law and Order in a hotel room.
If you just watch sometimes the TV guide is kind of weirdly soothing. I'm sure that's a thing that people do.
just read just about possible TV you could be watching.
Yeah, these are my choices. Yeah.
Also, there's the hotel menu itself where there's usually like a nice piece of Muzak in the background and then it's like, the spa is open from 9 a.m. till... I'll leave that one on for a while as I try to, you know, unwind a little bit. Not immediately get into a murder show, but like maybe just learn about my environs.
Yeah, and never go to the spa. Just get the slight benefits of the spa from the spa.
Hear about it.
Advert. Do the spas exist? They might just... I've never actually seen in a hotel or taken advantage of the spa.
I don't think anyone does.
They might not exist.
They're just sitting in a room like, why... Why do we?
It's all steamy in there, clammy. No, thank you.
It's the easiest job in the world. You just don't.
Yeah.
You just don't do it. It's that, that or owning a storage unit building, I think would be, or a storage unit company is probably that's got to be the easiest job in the world.
Yeah.
Right?
Although, wouldn't the curiosity, like since basically Silence of the Lambs, where she rolled that thing up and here comes act two. Mm-hmm. I mean, boom, right, just waiting in there. And also there was that reality show where it was like people bidding on
storage pickers or
Pickers. George Wars. It's George Wars.
The word Pickers is in there, but continue.
Pickers.
That's,
it.
That's the show American Pickers.
Yeah.
But
different, different, different than what you're talking about. Okay.
For me, I would be so curious as to what is in there. Are there people being held in there?
Right.
Is there
a
small house built within that people go in and that's where they live? I mean, anything's possible.
That should be, I think, a law. And this is, I'm the only political idea I've ever had about enacting change in this world would be that once a year, not Biden himself, but like people go door to door and like someone in the government and they check everyone's house, attic and basement and like back storage just to make sure no one's being kept. And whatever they find guns, doesn't matter, cocaine, it's fine. But
keep
they're
it all.
just looking for people.
And yes.
Right.
That way, because there's, you know, there's people, there's be, Ohio especially, there's just people being kept and we got to get them.
Right.
It's those containers that are like containers from a container ship, but they're in a backyard.
Right.
Exactly.
Can we just do a mandatory check of all land containers?
I don't care what exotic illegal animals are back there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What large game? What, just whatever. Just make sure there's no people.
Yeah, I'm looking for a human stuffed forced.
Make sure there's none of this. Position.
Oh,
none of that. None of that.
That's
no one watching Judge
for help?
Judy on repeat.
Yeah, that's just sitting there.
The captors always give them like Judge Judy to watch.
Like here, you'll be fine.
This is you can have this. Yeah.
Actually, Judge Judy in her most recent billboard went with a tight bun, which I think is very unexpected.
Oh,
and then
shit.
The expression on her face combined with the tight bun, I invite you to look at it and just see if that was a good or bad idea for season 28 of Judge Judy.
Did it kind of pull up her eyebrows like when yes. Madonna went tight?
Yes.
And it gives you like an intense, a lot of people can't see what I'm visually doing right now, but I'm...
Chris is tearing his scalp back.
Yeah.
But his eyes are bugging out.
His eyeballs are almost out of his socket.
Nostrils engorged.
Yes, just in anticipation of your testimony.
You look like Eckhart Tolle right now, actually. You look very mindful the way you're doing that. The vacant eyes, yeah.
Yes, it looks like he can see the universe kind of all at once in a grain of sand.
The only pleasure you need is washing your dishes.
Which I have not done. They're off in the distance. But I can see the future, like that character in Men in Black 3.
Yeah.
did Judge Judy also, I read... that she got ripped like Kumail also.
Have you seen that picture?
No.
Casey, sorry to boss you around, but will you find the picture of Judge
Get
Judy?
Get the picture, Casey,
do it. It's
Casey's
Judge Judy in a white,
right now.
She's in a white bikini with a white bathing suit cover up, and she's on like a yacht in New York Harbor. And her body is unbelievably
really?
Amazing.
Yes.
You're seeing
Let's
it?
We're about to get a reveal, I think. If Casey O'Brien is the podcast producer, we think he is.
He might be in the bathroom. There's stuff can come up. Or he's just scrolling through many
sultry
photos.
Guys,
okay,
it's in the chat.
Okay, let's see.
Can you see that?
I'm gonna
to open that.
I'm going
to
click on it. I'm clicking on it.
I think I have to copy paste, which might take me about 60 minutes.
Oh, you can tell under there. She's wearing like a doily.
Look at that.
Oh, fuck.
It's borderline boudoir, isn't it?
And Katie Couric put it on her website. Like, look at the gams on this.
Katie Couric respects a nice ab.
Katie is just sharing JJ's nudes on her her homepage.
She's a journalist.
JJ probably didn't want this to get out. She probably just sent it flirtily to Couric, and then Couric just posted it for all to see. Yeah, that is like...
Look at that bod. She wanted it to get out.
Yeah,
she's like, everybody, look, I'm bossy, but I also put in the time.
Yeah. I mean...
Wow, she looks incredible.
She didn't get that sitting on the bench.
But there's also a kind of like, because it's a white bikini, it looks like she's in like high school girl underpants. So it's It's very
it's very like it's like cheap Valentine's Day gifts that like a bad boyfriend would give you. Yes, is what she's wearing.
It's Red Shoe Diaries for sure.
I'm so glad you're the one that said high school girl underpants and not me. That seems like something I would blurt.
You thought it, I said it. That's how we do it on this podcast.
It's so amazing how we can connect over Zoom that way.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Casey. Amazing producer.
Yeah, thank you, Casey. And also, Karen, thank you for pointing that out. That is, wow. Yeah, that is really, really something.
Yeah, let's try and continue podcasting with these boners of ours.
Has she been ripped this whole time, do you think?
Yeah, there's a lot going under that cape.
I think that's the secret she brings on stage with her every time she shoots. It's just like, what she's you shredded. Don't know is my delts are, I am packing, is there a gun show underneath this robe?
She's got secret. like a 12 pack. Oh my God, JJ. Wow.
Are you still staring at it, Chris?
I'm just going to make it my homepage real quick.
It was too blurry for me, but I'll find a high res one.
Yeah, okay, good. So that you can see that.
For wallpaper purposes, and I do mean my walls.
Tile that shit. Yeah. Get it going, Judy. I love calling Judy JJ.
JJ, yeah.
JJ's, JJ on the weekends.
JJ's looking fresh. Oh. JJ's like up to some nefarious stuff on that boat.
Yeah, she is.
Yeah,
there's a real Epstein vibe in that picture and with her, the wide open arms of like, come one, come all, onto my boat.
Well, imagine what that would do to your sense of, like, the idea of power, like, to play a judge like that, like, she is above the law, essentially. Like, she is kind of, like, an almost, like, ancient Greek-type figure in our society.
She is. She is the adjudicator.
Like, think about how many chefs she has on that boat. She must have so many chefs.
And she's like, no carbs.
Oh, yeah.
Make it interesting.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I just realized she must be insanely wealthy.
Oh, she has.
Oh, my God.
Having started my career in writing for daytime television, I will tell you that Judge Judy gets numbers no one else can get.
Mm-hmm.
Like, everyone else is down and trying to get, like, a 3. Sometimes Dr. Phil often would get a 5. Yeah. Oprah was always killing it. Judge Judy was like an 8, a 9, a 10. Like numbers that people were just like, she's not, no one's competing with her.
Because they just played on loop in like Social Security offices and stuff. Like she has, and like the DMV, they just have JJ on fucking repeat. Like
just taking care of business.
Yeah, yeah. And there's no beginning, middle, or end. You don't, like no one's ever set out. Yeah, it's, God, good for her.
Right? Just made him money. Also, Chris Fairbanks, do you know Bradford? He works at the network. My friend Bradford, and he used to work at Ellen with me.
Bradford.
But he used to be, you might know if you saw him, but he used to, his first TV job was working on Judge Judy, and he kind of worked his way up, and then he basically became her assistant, and she used to call him Bubby. And he's still, like, he talked to her. He's like, she's like your
she's
grandma.
Delightful. Yeah.
A lovely, wonderful human being.
I think when I was young, I was scared of her and I thought maybe she was mean. And then gradually I'm like, oh no, she's my favorite person. What has happened?
Yes.
Yeah. She's mean to the exact right people.
You're saying Judge Judy is your favorite person?
I mean, I'm leaning that direction now that
you know what it is? It's because, and this is like a good, if you're ever going to be a teacher, they say like you get a lot of like, you feel cool if you're like kind of one of the cool teachers for like the first day or two, but it's really the ones that lay down the law. Oh my God.
That's right.
That you respect. I just realized I had a dream about one of my high school teachers last night.
You just had a deja vu about a dream?
Let's hear it.
Oh my God. And she was this woman, Miss, I'm not going to say her name, but she had a catchphrase. She would like guide us into what she wanted us to say. And then she would scream, very good. That was like her. And she would like slam.
You just had a dream this past evening of her?
Last night. And it was something, she came, I was like in a Home Depot or something. And she came up in a kimono and she was like clearly fucked up. And she was saying something kind of like wandering, and she said something about like something about like a vibrator or something. And she walked by me and I felt so fucked up about it.
Yeah.
And it was like she was going to go do something like, no vibrator in the world is powerful enough for like the hell I'm going through or something of that.
First of all, you're in the wrong store.
Yes.
Yeah, Home Depot. Yeah.
Well, no, maybe she's in the right store.
She's going next level.
Yeah.
She has to.
Going to the lumber section or something. Oh, wow.
She has to get one of those really industrial strength kind of plugs to go.
It's a giant washing machine. Yeah. To put herself on tumble dry.
Getting inside.
Yeah. Here we go.
Wait, what kind of teacher? What subject did she teach?
And
she
her name again?
English. I keep almost saying. Yeah, and she really disliked me. She thought I was like trying to start like an uprising or something. And she didn't like me, but she was even crueler to my friends. She at least had some respect for me, but she had less respect for people who were associated with me.
She would
at least give me like a B+ and she would give them. One time in class, she was like, what happened? And she was like, you know, and we all know what happens in this chapter. We were supposed to be reading Oedipus and nobody had read it. And I couldn't handle the awkwardness. So I just said, Creon dies. And he did not die. I don't think he dies at all in that. And from there on out, it was just. Yeah.
She hated your guts.
Hated me.
Wait, will you paint us a little bit of a picture of high school Chris Fleming? Just walk us through. What your strengths were, what maybe your weaknesses were. Yeah. Did you really have did you have an entourage of evildoers?
I did, yeah. Well, I have all these friends, and I'm still very close with them, and they're all very small, and they're all the same exact height. Yeah. And a lot of us were also named Chris. We all kind of share.
Yeah, you're
the same
describing
name.
Everyone's 5'8", everyone, all the four of my best friends are named Chris. Continue. Continue.
And I was pretty much the same, except I had like a Mary Martin type bob cut, and my hair was just a little bit more like this, you know? It was just higher up.
Yeah.
And yeah, I was pretty much the same. I was class president for a while, but then I got ousted because they realized I was just a figurehead leader and I wasn't doing it. And I did spend one person's class dues on gas money once when I was really low on.
Yeah.
And that, yeah.
That's so illegal.
This is politics. Yeah. This is politics right
here. Yeah. And I was into theater. I think our school really, it was all flipped. So like, well, there's a big sinister dog outside. I'm sorry. It was like theater was like kind of the cool, like, I don't know if it was a cool thing, but it was like accepted in a way that
the richest, most beautiful, coolest, most popular people in my high school were thespians and put in the hours to be called thespians. I was just in plays with them. I'm not going to hang out after school. I wanted to skateboard, but you're right.
You said that you did Shakespeare. Did you do Shakespeare in the Park?
No, I just know of it. It's a big scene in
Heard
Boise.
Of.
I know some of those people too. I'm just always theater adjacent.
Are you California too? Did you grow up in California?
I was born in.
No, I didn't grow up in California.
More born in Monterey, but I grew up in Montana. Yeah.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah. So.
Missoula. I don't know. I worked at a camp, and this guy looked like Teddy Roosevelt was in charge of the camp, and he gave me, we didn't know each other. And
what kind of a camp? I'll know
it was
the camp.
Hole in the Wall. Oh, sorry. It wasn't in Montana. It was called Hole in the Wall Gang Camp, and it was in Connecticut. And it was the Paul Newman thing. And I worked there for 2 weeks because like my friend, whatever. And I was a driver. I drove this big van around. And the guy, he was like, Chris, I got my check at the end of it. And he said, Chris, if shit ever hits the fan. I think he said when shit hits the fan.
Oh, it's inevitable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he rolled out a map. Maybe the map was already there. Maybe there wasn't a map. But I remember, I think he pointed and he said, go here. And he told me to go to Missoula, Montana.
Wait, were you in a Home Depot during this interaction?
Yeah. And asleep.
Yeah. This isn't my REM section.
It is, in his defense, he's correct. I mean, it's the fourth largest state. There's not even a million people in it. If you need to hide or just enjoy scenery and be kind and enjoy fishing, not everyone there is a murderer. Ted Kaczynski and some other bad apples kind of tainted an otherwise sweet state.
Kaczynski was Montana. I thought Kaczynski, he has such Washington vibes, doesn't
he? No, maybe for getting his doctorate or something. I know he had some Ivy League background, but no, he settled in Lincoln, Montana, or that's where his cabin was, where he did package a lot of fertilizer and nail-based bombs.
Really some of the toughest bombs.
But if you read his manifesto, there's really some good ideas in there. I'm just kidding. I've never read it.
But, yeah, the way that you were talking about him, it does sound like you are.
He's
introducing
big
Zach Gillette. Yeah,
I like the hoodie and aviator look. Sorry,
he was actually a visionary with that.
Yeah,
because truly,
he's a style icon. They were doing that on runways and stuff.
And the beard, which is big now.
Yeah,
beards.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
yeah. Well,
but there are a lot of people like that, I suppose.
But can I just ask really quick? Was the idea of like if the shit goes down in terms of survivalism kind
sure.
of thing.
Mm-mm.
Oh.
It was basically like, I will have a beautiful life in Missoula.
Oh, okay.
It was like that. It was that kind of a thing. It was like
backup plan.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Like if you need a place, like a haven, go to Missoula. And I've never been, but I always have this, it's nice to have this kind of, not white whale, but like, yeah, just this idea that
green whale,
green gangrene, yeah, that jaundiced whale, a humpback with a pancreas deficiency whale in my life is that is
a Missoula. Whale on pills.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
I can say without hesitation that anyone, if you go to the right place, and I'll tell you where to go, you would have a wonderful experience and meet nice people.
I need to believe it's great.
Yeah.
Do you guys have like that kind of thing where it's like if nothing works out, or if everything falls apart, not even like apocalyptically, but
sure.
just like, then, okay, I got the emergency duffel. I'm yes. going to Tallahassee, that kind of a thing.
Yeah.
Yes. I always tell people when they come to my house and they don't like it because here's how I start it. I just moved into this house like now, I think it's 3 years ago. And when, you know, they have to do all the inspections, right? So they're like, you don't have termites or you do have bloody mm-hmm. blue. And there's the land inspector, the geologist, I guess.
Of course.
And when the geologist rolled his map out, first of all, I'm not kidding. My real estate agent is my cousin Pete. And my cousin Pete's like, this guy, people were taking pictures of this man showing me the land survey because apparently he was like a legend in the business. And I, like me getting this guy as my land surveyor was a big deal because he was about to retire. And I was
what?
Just like, this is such
how
a
how is he
deep,
so good?
I don't know. And they all, like all of these real estate
He's
agents knew him and loved him. So they were like, literally have a picture of like him pointing things to me on the survey. Like, I'm going to hang it up like I live at Dan Tana's. And it's like, here's all the famous people that helped me inspect this. But
there was photographers with him?
Well, no, just like my cousin and the other real estate agents were literally taking pictures.
That's,
like, this might be the last land survey
so
he explains.
He always finds dinosaur bones under your house.
Treasure. Yeah. There's a little box of treasure, of dinosaur bones.
We're about to go on an adventure.
But he told me, my like how lucky I was because I live on bedrock, and he was just going off about how amazing that is in LA because so when earthquakes hit here, I honestly don't feel them and nothing shakes at this house because it's bedrock, which isn't easy to access, I guess. So it was like this big presentation that then I, of course, started immediately bragging to everyone that came to my house of like, it's all bedrock, by the way, all bedrock.
Yeah. Jump around.
Try it out. Try to shake anything in this house.
Yeah.
Which then led me to conversationally, hey, if anything goes down, let's meet at the Hollywood Bowl. And I don't know why I started saying that to people. It was almost in that idea of like, if the shit goes down, you can come up here earthquake-wise. Yeah. But if it's like civil war type of, you know,
mm-hmm,
all of a sudden mass violence and things are bad, let's meet at the, like grab guns and meet at the Hollywood Bowl.
Oh, yeah, yeah. When Paul Simon's playing. Yeah.
Yeah,
it's not a good plan.
Let me look at the schedule
so
first.
Expensive. Let's get those garlic fries.
Elvis
and
Costello without Burt Bacharach. No, thank you. I'll take my chances. When I was living in Venice, it's the opposite. It's like a marshland where they should not have built anything. The bad
it's built
sign
on gravy.
Is,
yeah.
As you leave the beach, you're going downhill, like on Washington Boulevard where I lived. That's scary if there's a tsunami. So I was always worried about an earthquake causing a wave from a Dwayne Rock Johnson movie to come. And so my roommate and I, our plan was to, as soon as the alarm, I'm assuming there's a horn, run
yeah,
across
it's a,
the street.
A small trumpet. Yeah.
Yeah, just a guy playing taps preemptively.
Playing Mambo number five.
Is that it?
I could use a little bit of Laura in my life.
Yeah. Get out when you hear Mambo number five on the bugle.
Run.
On the English horn. Get out.
Just for 20 hours, FEMA's there and the song doesn't stop. There is a hotel across the street with a helicopter pad on top. And all I would have to do, as people are panicking and trying to get away in their cars with their belongings and their children, I would just run to the hotel and go to the top floor. And I still think it's a good idea. I'd be on the 10th story of a building with a helicopter pad.
Great.
It's maybe the I'll... only good plan I have. And now I don't live over there. And I don't know what the... I guess I'll go to your Bedrock house.
Well, now you've yes. leaked the plan. Now everyone's going to do that. Any yes. Dinar listeners are going to be on the helipad.
Yeah,
the dinosaurs
you're right.
are going to get up on the 10th floor. Yeah. They're going to crowd the area. Yeah. They're going to grab the helicopter leg that they always do and pull it down. Don't do it. Let us escape.
These desperate dinarinos.
Do you think you could make it if you did grab it? You think you could have the core strength to get up?
Oh, my God. I think about that all the time, Chris.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the answer is no. We got him. Let's get out. And I just consciously let go. My fingers are weak.
I always think about that, like being on an airplane. And if like for some horrible reason I got put like on the wing, it's like this weird invasive thought I have. And yeah. I'm like, oh, I think since Tom Cruise did that really
Tom
annoying
Cruise's
thing,
fault.
I think it's like
fault.
This, I imagine myself and how much that must hurt.
Yeah.
Because it's just the top joint of your fingers. That's doing all, those yeah. are doing all the work way up here.
Because he was wedging
the hyperflange.
It. Yeah. He was wedging it in the door gap. That's only like down to the first knuckle.
He was just free soloing?
Like no harness.
No chalk.
They had him fly to Phoenix. And he finally just let go and ran on the tarmac, is what I've heard.
Have you seen there's this true story of something happening on a plane and the pilot, it's a reenactment photo, but I saw it and I didn't know it was a reenactment. So I thought I saw a photo of it really happening, which is insanely stupid of me.
I totally get that.
Proves like I did not grow up with the internet. It came in my 20s when I wasn't paying attention. Yeah. Mm-hmm, so stuff like I'll fall for pretty much anything.
Totally.
But it's something happened with the windshield on a plane and the co-pilot got sucked out and was like holding on while they were trying to land this plane with one window open on the front. You have to see it.
Wait, did this actually happen or it didn't happen?
It happened in real life, but the picture I saw was from like a real air disasters special that was, you know, on one of those channels on Sunday night.
Yes, of course.
This isn't going anywhere and this is the end.
Wait, so the pilot got, he opened the window to like spit and then he got sucked out.
this gum has no flavor.
Fucking fruit stripe.
Why can't it last more than 10 seconds of flavor?
Get out of here. No! We keep telling you the planes don't work this way. No, it's something like the front windscreen cracked on the right side from the picture that's from a TV show. So the crack created then a pulling thing.
Oh
and
God.
Then because they were 50,000 feet in the air, they're trying to land. And that guy's like halfway out and holding on to something out there just so that he doesn't get sucked out all the way and thrown.
There seems to be no one's really arrived at like a consensus in cinema, whether or not like a hole in a plane sucks people. In every other movie, the plane's fine. Everyone's kind of hanging out and like, it's like a little breezy,
it's a strong fan. But in other movies, you're in outer space.
You're done.
Yeah.
I don't think the scientists actually know what would happen.
Yeah. No. Yeah, they've never actually done it.
Yeah. All they know is that when the event happens, there will be a shit ton of paperwork flying around. Suddenly there's loose paper everywhere.
Why do I
on
use
a plane?
Manila folders?
Who brought all these files?
My fax machines just flying around.
My documents that I keep loosely in an open backpack. No!
No!
I think on your last podcast, you were talking about how you, and you just kind of touched on it really, really briefly about how like you guys don't like flying because you soak up everyone's energy. Oh, I do that before shows. I can't handle even dealing with sound guys. If I meet, because every sound person at every theater is just
is mad,
abhorrent.
They're so mad.
The vibe is right. Yeah, and the vibe, I really take that on, and it's so hard to come back from that. It's so hard to then bring joy after you meet a sound person.
I was thinking
about that,
especially with comedy. It's just like when you have a bad vibes where you're like, "Sorry, are we already in a fight?" And I wasn't there for the beginning of the fight.
Right.
What's going on?
Yes.
Yeah. And then it's like, "Ladies and gentlemen, Chris Lang," where you're just like, "Oh, cool, I'm gonna go do this thing that's pretty hard anyway."
Yeah, I have to overcome this negative. Yeah, that's...
It goes both ways. There was, when I did Conan there, I had this cardigan sweater and I'm like, this is too much. It's too hot and it looks dumb. And I was like, I'm going to take the sweater off. And the guy, I hadn't talked to him yet. It was his job to open the curtain once you hear your name. And he said, you do not take that sweater off. It looks terrific. And then went out.
That's beautiful. Yep.
I felt he instilled me with so much confidence. I like fucked up my first joke. I hate that guy.
Oh, you were too.
I was
too
like,
high?
I look great. Wait, what's my joke? Damn you, curtain man!
If you look good, you don't have to be funny. Once you kind of hit that aesthetic, it's actually kind of a detriment to be funny because it's like, why are you feeling the need to be funny?
Yeah, and we will name names now of examples of this.
Yeah.
Models.
Model, yeah.
Specific comedians that are handsome.
Yeah. Oh, I never like that. And they usually perform at the Laugh Factory and they're always gorgeous. And
I have not.
Anti-vax.
When's the last time any of us were at the Laugh Factory? When I first moved here, that's where you went to be seen.
Really?
Yeah. I was like for showcases and things. And I haven't been.
I find those clubs, like, I just was already so worried about everything that, like, I was there to attract a bad vibe. I think I was like a magnet for it. You know, I was looking for the problem. Mm. Then I would just be like, well, am I
set's ruined. To get out of it, you mean?
Yes, exactly.
Oh, yeah, like, yeah, totally.
Now I just got to go. It's like, I never wanted to do it in the first place. Yeah. What was I doing?
Are you, Chris, I'm like fully back on the road? You're doing shows like coming, like this week, you're like in Minneapolis and you're going.
That's right.
Detroit. And are you, I love how you're incorporating like videos that you've done and you do stand up and you're showing those videos and have live. How do you travel with a band? How are you doing all of this?
I did, and then I realized it was. Sorry, that dog is. Losing
it's a vicious
its mind.
Animal, but
do you hear it? It is.
It's going to come through that wall.
It's a
behind
junkyard
you.
Dog.
that is, chopper.
That is like a dog in a music video. Wait. You know what? I mean, I'm safer in here. Okay, so I did tour with the band for a while, but that was pre-pandemic. And I think I was going through some stuff, you know, trying to feel bigger than I was.
Oh, I thought I was going to do reggae. I have a reggae band come with me and do reggae songs. I understand.
It's a weird, right around 2019, my sense of confidence was a little too high. It was a little dangerous. Yeah. I was definitely careening towards some weird emotional territory. But now it's just, so my goal with this was to try to like, I almost strip it down more and try to do less with like multimedia and just see, sure. like, let's see if I can just do it just myself.
Yeah.
And it's going pretty well.
I would love to. Do you still project at least visuals? Like,
I do. Yeah. I have a whole bit with a song about how gerbils. You can get a gerbil for the cost of raspberries, and it's this whole music video with like a bunch of kind of, it's like in a European club and people, it's a lot of like European kind of dancing in the back. Yeah, it's really fun. That's like an hour 20, and then all of a sudden that it's like, and if people are like, it kind of gives people vertigo because it's there hasn't been song or dance until that.
But and I is that when visuals. You leave the stage and then go sip some expensive water at the side of the stage while that video plays?
Yeah, I have a Voss. I have a double Voss blood bag.
Yeah.
It goes in. It just right into my shoulder, like right into the collarbone. And I just, yeah, it's painful, but it's expensive and it's a good look.
Yeah, it has to get into that marrow.
You got to get it right in the marrow. You got to get
hydrate
right
marrow. The marrow.
Yeah.
Yes, must.
I drank a lot at this festival this past week, and the next day there was a tent that just did vitamin B shots, like an actual needle in the arm.
Ooh. But
I've heard it's like a luxurious hangover thing. Usually I think they do a prolonged drip, but that was like $200. I'm like, give me the $20 vitamin B shot.
Reuse the needle. You can do the old one.
Who would ever get well
grab it out of that?
I'm so scared that they did.
That
it was
must
a
be
tent.
What they give that to like Beyonce before everything, right? Isn't that like what they or like someone who needs to?
It was
rally?
Recommended to me. It messed me up. And
why?
I was sick all day. And my arm hurt like I'd just gotten a COVID shot. I know people looked at me like I did something wrong, but I swear I was not hydrated.
Shame
I
on
bad.
You, Chris.
And then I added to that, I'm like, maybe I just need some caffeine. And so I had two back-to-back five-hour energy, those trucker shots.
Yeah.
Which on is top more of the B12 vitamin, shot?
That's how Elvis vitamin. Died, I think, what, you,
yes.
what you're describing.
on the toilet ODing on B12.
I'm not kidding. I had mid-set a sudden like panic attack and my heart was racing and I, no, I'm sorry to the elevation tent or whoever gave me that shot. I'm not talking smack. I'm sure it works for a lot of people, but it made me... I really did have a panic attack, and I think.
Well, I think the 5-hour energy drinks is.
That's
also
mostly
hurt
what it
that.
Was. You don't.
You got to have some mashed potatoes after that. You need to have at least a can of mashed potatoes per 5-hour energy.
Otherwise, I also did
you're
not
screwed.
Eat much.
You are. Yeah, you're just going to wander the property all night.
Surveying,
like glowing eyes, just like B12 eyes, like you can see. Through people's skin.
You're going to be up all night Googling where Cal Burnett went to college if you're not careful with that stuff. I'm curious. Yeah, that kind of stuff.
this is really the real shot in my curious vein.
Yeah. It always leads to Carol Burnett.
The drip thing, my friend, we went on like we used to, in pre-pandemic times, I threw a lot of bachelorette parties, and then I would also we would go out a lot, and my friend tried to get I think he got commissioned for one of those companies where like, it's like, yeah, man, if you hook yourself up to the drip, like, you know, we gotta sign up, which is like so perverted to sign to before you go on a bender to then be like, okay, I'm going to go so hard that tomorrow I'm going to get this recovery.
Yeah, planning on
medical
it.
Attention.
Yeah,
I'm
going
to plan the poisoning.
I'm going to hire a nurse for tomorrow.
I never tried it though. It must feel great. I mean, because when you're in, oh my God, I do when a hangover, something about a hangover ending, like the dopey serenity that you feel as you're coming to the next, like that day after, I think is, I feel so creative in a weird way. And like, I have a new lease on life, and it's kind of a beautiful, not to recommend being hungover, but there is some beauty to going through that misery.
I think I did agree. I feel a little bit of that, but that doesn't necessarily translate to being a vibrant live performer.
No.
Yeah,
no.
That should have been a writing evening. get on stage.
A lot.
I'm still upset that I got that shot anyway.
What did you did you, in your panic attack, did you adjust and then just like finish your joke and leave? Or how did you adapt?
I don't think anyone would know it was happening except if my sister or you dad had been watching that something had happened.
Yeah.
I just kind of...
Or your doctor.
Started laughing.
Doctor or the nurse.
Or a doctor.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Or the guy that did it to me, the needle man, the used needle man.
who poisoned you.
He's like,
the pusher man.
This happens every other... I got to get out
of here. You'll be back?
Yeah.
He's like, you'll be back.
You're not performing after this, are you?
That's his first words. Yes, what?
What?
Oh, this is a panic inducer.
Take off that Band-Aid. And he starts sucking it out of me like a snake bite.
Drawing circles on it with a Sharpie on your leg. Yeah. 1 hour.
Keep your eye on this spot. I do. I used to love the... breakfast on a hungover morning, and when you were waiting in line to go get that breakfast, like this, I'm thinking of when I lived in San Francisco, so you'd have to go and like stand in the, you know, sunglasses. Lower height in the sun, like standing there waiting to get your dumb banana pancakes, where the bananas were not inside. You like wait an hour and a half and then they're just piled on the outside.
Yeah,
where you're just like,
that's a dumb
that's pancakes.
Pancake.
That's pancakes with sliced bananas on top. Yeah. But
that's so messed up.
It's really fucked. That happened one time and I was just like, I'm too hungover to complain, but like you did me wrong by calling these banana pancakes.
Maybe it just says banana plus pancakes.
Yeah.
Oh, I missed the very detail.
A tiny plus sign.
It's important. I just wasn't paying attention.
It's not, it's a collab.
They're kind, they came together on this, but they didn't blend. But I used to love getting a water, an orange juice, a coffee, and maybe even a fourth thing if they had a smoothie of some kind what? Hot chocolate? I don't know.
Just
I loved
have a little
an
sip,
array.
A sip of each.
Yeah.
I'm not going to finish any of these. Don't laugh, but I want seven beverages. So
I want to slowly nurse myself back to life through beverages.
It's beautiful.
It's a beautiful feeling. And I had that exact experience. It's like you were there.
It's scary when water tastes bad. That's what freaks me out during a hangover when I'm like,
are you drinking out of the tap?
Or
no,
Evian?
Maybe I just have such a sweet tooth also that if I'm ever down emotionally or even if I'm not, I just need something. I always require like a sweet, like a nectar. And so if I'm hungover, maybe I'm just trained to want to drink Gatorade or something, some kind of middle school sports beverage as a self-soother more than anything. But water feels like poison to me sometimes after I've been drinking. I think I also drink a lot of like margaritas. Okay. I'm clearly just hungover from the hummingbird food that I mix my drinks with. And that's, I think that's the issue. I don't think I can consume much alcohol. I think it's just
Is it
all the mixers?
I don't think they even serve me alcohol. I think people take one look at me. It's like when I go to the doctor, they don't give me they give me the nurse practitioner. Like when I go to the bar, they don't give me the booze. They give me they just pour margarita mix, and then I get a placebo buzz. Yeah.
Have fun.
Oh, this isn't even the bartender. He's a bar back. He usually washes glasses. Bottoms up.
Yeah. and I'm out of my mind. Yeah.
Chris, wait, saying that you have a sweet tooth, do you want to talk about your number one candy as a way to as a way to wrap down probably one of the greatest conversations of all time?
Did it.
I just got that notification on my phone. This is one of the greatest.
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
Congratulations.
You are a part of one of the greatest conversations of all time.
Wait, how is this a notification not about the Oscars? Just kidding. Let's not talk about it.
Let's not.
We were all traumatized. We saw the memes. Favorite candy, go.
I was hoping that Anthony Hopkins would roast the shit out of Jada after when he went up to give the best picture.
Yep. could have been amazing. Like, there were a lot of comedy opportunities that everyone was too aghast to exploit.
Yeah.
Jada Pinkett is 5'0". You know, I
can't.
My favorite
maybe
candy.
In heels.
My wife is much taller than Jada Pinkett Smith. That's the height of a JV football player. Yeah, like that kind of
real specific.
Jada Pinkett Smith has a Facebook TV show. That's boring. I watch better TV shows. And Will Smith's like being restrained. Okay.
Lupita Nyong'o's crying in the background, like, no, no more.
Yeah. Let me add him. For some reason, Hopkins is just like a roast battle master out of nowhere.
Yeah, he's just vicious. Boom.
Jada Pinkett. A hyphenated name. I would never hyphenate my wife's name. But I'm a real... Jada Pinkett Smith was friends with Tupac Shakur, and now she's friends with Will Smith. Now she's dating Will Smith. That must be tough. And everyone's like, no!
No, please! What are you doing?
Call it quit!
I'm just getting started.
Cracking his knuckles. My favorite candy is probably Dots. I like Dots the most.
Really?
Yeah. I'm with you there.
Yeah. I love Dots is my movie candy if I'm not doing chocolate.
Yeah.
I really enjoy Dots.
I love
what kind of chocolate do you do in the movie?
Yeah. Well, I'll be honest with you. What I do is I open up a thing of plain M&Ms and throw it into the fucking thing of popcorn.
That's what they did in Whiplash, which we were talking about earlier.
That's right.
I've never seen that before.
The thing about it is if you're at a good movie theater, that popcorn's hot.
Right.
When you get your fucking handful and throw it in, they're melted, but inside the shell. So it's like this little, I swear to God,
it's like the mosquito in Amber. I'm with you.
Just magical.
Welcome to my island.
Yeah, in the future, paleobiologists are going to try to extract the chocolate from the popcorn to recreate. Wow, and you said earlier that you used to have a buffet of drinks to soothe your hangovers, and I was thinking I could not be more different. I can only do one thing at a time. I hate mixing anything. I will just do one thing and then I will devour it. And then maybe an hour later, I can try something else. So the idea of mixing the popcorn with a candy.
It sounds bad.
It's pretty crazy.
I've experienced it. They did that once at Steve Allen Theater. That's there for Ron Lynch's thing. And this kid grabbed a Butterfinger bar, opened it, he crunched it up while it was still wrapped and opened the popcorn and just kind of dumped the shrapnel in there and shook it up. And I'm like, what are you doing? As if it's going to be coating each piece of popcorn, you snack amateur, you lunatic. Why? It's just going to be melted and in the corner.
It's melted. You better brought your own roll of paper towels because you're screwed.
Every piece, evenly coated, a perfect combination of salty and sweet.
You're saying it worked.
Oh, my God, it worked.
Oh,
I was like, to this day. And then he just was off into the night.
You didn't even get his name?
That was Orville Redenbacher.
Yeah, it was Orville.
No, but I got half that bag of sweet, salty popcorn. and I forgot about it till now. It works great.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wait, Chris. Does that mean that on Thanksgiving you eat turkey, then mashed potatoes, then stuffing?
I don't even really get stuff on a buffet. I just like the dark meat, and then I'll have pie.
Wait a minute.
Turkey.
On different plates?
I'm a freak. Sorry?
You just have them on separate sets. You are a freak.
I'm a sick puppy, yeah. I think I'll get cranberry sauce just for the visual, but then I won't eat it.
No one actually eats it. It comes out of a tube-like sheath formation.
Oh, yeah. It's almost like a cow giving birth.
The sack. You have to break the sack and then get to your cranberry jelly.
My sister always insists on making... her own like artisanal cramp, which is also worse in a way. Okay, I mean, that's cruel,
worse.
But I don't like home. Yeah, I mean, this is probably.
Yeah, there's
debate.
Always twigs of thyme.
Yeah, there's shells in there.
Yeah.
There's weird shit in there.
Yeah,
because it's from the bog. A weird guy got it from the bog.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
There's boots. There's also waders in there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Part of a fish hook. I don't need your Ozark organics. Yeah, I like a gelatinous cylinder, and then I ignore it. It's just
artificial. Artificial stuff is, for some reason, to me, so much better. Always, I don't like.
If only
the real
because
thing.
It's strained. Like, thank you for taking at least step one. God bless your sister for trying, but it's like put it through a filter, please.
And she puts like, you know, creepy subtle flavors in, which like it just hit me over the head. I don't want a little bit of orange and a little orange
nutmeg.
Rind.
Give me the tart, unsweetened raw berry.
And get rid of this UTI.
Yes. Please. Yes. No UTIs for 48 hours. Yeah.
I want that medicine. Yeah. That medicine.
I'm sorry, but Anthony Hopkins, I could watch his roast of JPS.
JJ.
I keep laughing at it. It's always a sign of us having a lot of fun when I look down expecting to see that we've gone 45 minutes and it's been
an hour and
15.
Oh my God, we're over even.
Yeah, that's
good. Oh shit.
Oh shit, we're having fun.
It has to end at some point.
I guess. Who's going to be
Fleming,
mad?
Will you do this? Normally we do this in a car.
Yeah.
That's how this podcast started.
Right.
So when we get back into the car, would you come back, please?
I would love to.
We'll
That'd
take
be so
you
fun.
Somewhere.
That'd be, yeah, yeah. Put me
your
in.
Choice. Just not LAX like we originally intended every episode.
Yeah, that was a mistake.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so funny though.
Yeah, yeah.
Take me to Altadena or something. And just leave me for the coyotes.
We'll leave you at the dairy.
Yeah.
Make your own way home.
Yeah, I'd love that. I would love to join you guys in the car.
We'll drive you off to the birthplace of milk.
Great.
Altadena.
Great. Yeah.
Well, it's so exciting to meet someone that I really like their work and that they're exactly what I thought they would be like. Thank you very much for being the person that you are.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. That's really sweet. Well, thank you guys for being the same way.
Yeah, I had no doubts. Not that I'm trying to one-up your compliment.
Well, but you did
I
it.
Did,
you
I
know
did.
What? You did it.
I
There's
did.
A compliment for you.
Yeah.
You won the compliment contest.
Yeah, you're so... watch everything. Chris has a lot of YouTube content, which is something we all should have been doing the past decade or more.
If you haven't seen Chris's video, Normies Are Getting Creative in the Pandemic, which all I could think about the first time I watched that video is how did he ever sing this a second time?
I didn't. I've never
really?
Done
it.
No,
that
no,
was
no.
a one-off.
We never did it again. Yeah. And we just record. Yeah, I don't even, I couldn't. I don't know. I think.
And also watch his stand-up story about ending up at a Super Bowl party at Dane Cook's house. And the most relatable. And you're not saying anything bad about it. It was the most relatable thing I've ever, as someone that doesn't know what to say about football or, other, you know, I just felt that bit so much. It's really,
you,
really
Chris.
Funny. And there's a thank lot you. Of jokes in that story. So watch that one specifically. Listen.
Do you have some sort of a chrisfleming.org where people can go and find your tour dates?
EDU.
Oh, it's .omni. Yeah, I'm a government site. .gov. chrisfleming.edu. No, it's chrisflemingfleming.com is where you can find it. Well, thank you guys so much for having me.
Thank you.
Yeah, that you're was the best. What a fun
time. That was wonderful. Thank you,
Let's
guys.
Let's all hang up from this and sit in the darkness for a minute.
Okay.
Perfect.
You've been listening to Do You Need a Ride? DYN.
AR!
This has been an Exactly Right production.
Produced by Casey O'Brien.
Mixed by John Bradley.
Artwork by Chris Fairbanks.
Theme song by Karen Kilgariff.
Follow the show on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at Dynar Podcast. That's DYNAR Podcast.
For more information, go to exactlyrightmedia.com.
Listen, follow, and leave us a review on Amazon Music, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And don't forget, you can listen to new episodes 1 week early on Amazon Music or early and ad-free by subscribing to Wondery Plus in the Wondery app.
Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome.
Follow Do You Need a Ride on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you like to listen so you never miss an episode.
If you like what you hear, rate and review the show.
And visit the exactlyrightstore.com to purchase Do You Need a Ride merch.